Good morning. It's 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. My name is Fingers. Welcome to Plugged Into Long Island. Today, we're talking to some fine people from the American Cancer Society, the 2021 Making Strides Breast Cancer Walk. And we're going to talk about all things because, as we all know, as this beginning of the month of September is how we start to see pink show up more and more as we get towards October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I would like to start off by introducing our guests. We have Dr. Feingold, who is an MD at NYBRA, the NYBRA. That's the plastic surgery founding member of the NYBRA Plastic Surgery. We also have Debbie Lippman, who's the team leader and a survivor and patient, Dr. Israel. We also have Fran, who is a survivor, and Katie Gupfrich Schaefer, who's the executive director of Long Island Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. And we're going to talk to them about all things breast cancer and the walk. I guess let's start off with Dr. Feingold, because from what I understand, you're actually on the clock at this time. So first of all, thank you for taking the time to be with us today. And as a surgeon, what is the best advice that you give to your patients that are dealing with the possibility of breast cancer or the onset of breast cancer?
Well, thank you for having me. And it's my pleasure to be here. I'm a plastic surgeon in practice for 27 years in Great Neck, New York. Our organization, our practice is called New York Breast Reconstruction and Aesthetic Plastic Surgery. And our focus has been on reconstructing women after mastectomy, whether it's for breast cancer or BRCA gene mutations, or for strong family history of breast cancer. When I look back at my training 30 to 40 years ago and our current practice, so many things have changed with regard to education of patients, cure rates, and especially quality outcomes in breast reconstruction. So I really think people should be aware that breast cancer is not quite the feared diagnosis that it was decades ago, that early detection is critical. And this is something very much supported by the American Cancer Society. If you do need treatment, there's just an enormous community of help out there for you, both in the medical community and in the lay community, and that the outcomes of breast reconstruction are so authentic and high quality in terms of appearance, in terms of even return of sensation in some cases, that there's a lot of hope, and people should take advantage of all the great resources we have for them.
You know, I have a friend who had a double mastectomy. This is many years ago, before a lot of the technologies that are around today. And she had both the breasts removed, and she opted to just put an angel's wings tattoo to cover her chest. Very bold, very strong. She's an amazing woman. But I understand that she actually, back then, she didn't have the same opportunities. Nowadays, you can actually, if you have a double mastectomy, rebuild a woman's breasts back to where she feels more complete, if you will.
Yeah, that's correct. First of all, I think that that angel wings tattoo is still a pretty cool thing. There are some women that opt to go flat and not be reconstructed. But decades ago, the reconstructive options were limited and they weren't that high quality. So I think a lot of women, as much as they feared a diagnosis that could threaten their health or their life, they also feared surgery that was going to alter their body and affect their femininity or sensuality. Now the reconstructive options are very high quality, whether it's using breast implants or especially with natural tissue breast reconstruction, where we transplant unwanted body fat from the abdomen or the thigh or the buttock to make warm living breasts for patients that are soft to the hand, soft to the eye, regain some feeling. And so it's not just a facsimile reproduction, it's really restoration of the human body that make people feel whole and well and normal again.
That's pretty amazing stuff right there. What is the biggest fear that you run into from your patients that you have to quell?
You know, some of it is fear of a diagnosis and having treatments that they don't want to undergo, whether it's surgery or chemotherapy or radiation. Some of it, as I mentioned, is altering the body and feeling that they've lost their femininity or that it might impact a relationship with a partner. Some of it's even fear of the genetics and whether they might pass it on to their children. That's why education is so important, that women can understand that treatments have very high cure rates. Reconstructions really help women get back to a sense of normalcy, and that their relationships and their family structure can survive this as well.
Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Feingold is talking to us. He is a plastic surgeon, founding member of NIBRA. If you're just tuning in, it's 102.3 WBAB, 106.1 BLI. This is Plugged Into Long Island, and we're here to talk about the American Cancer Society's effort to, let's say, eradicate breast cancer. Breast Cancer Awareness Month is coming up in October, and the Making Strides Walk is going to happen again. We just talked about reconstruction and things that you can do to get yourself prepared for a diagnosis. If Debbie Lipman, you're a team leader, but you're also a survivor. Would you share some of your story with us about that step that goes on after you find out you've survived, you know?
Well, right after my diagnosis is when I learned about Making Strides. And it was very fortuitous because I went there literally 3 days after my first chemo session. Somebody had established a team for me, and of course I wanted to be there. All my friends were there walking, and I was still in that shock stage, because it was at the beginning of everything. But once I walked into the environment of Making Strides, it changed every perspective that I had on my future, on my present, on everything. I felt I felt taken care of. I felt that, there are people who care. It looked like one big family. It's very frenetic in the morning. It's early in the morning, and it's very frenetic, and people are running. And so I was overwhelmed for about 2 seconds. And then I saw everybody's face, and everybody had some sort of smile. And, I guess as a therapist, I'm a trained therapist, and I look behind the smile. I saw different emotions on people's faces, a myriad of emotions, and I had them all. So, depending on what you were feeling at the minute, it you could relate to just about everybody there. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are no words to even describe New York Bra, NY Bra, NIBRA. That's what NIBRA. It was aesthetic plastic surgery when I did it. My diagnosis was 16 years ago, not what? Okay. So I have been at that walk every year since, leading a team. But the care that's taken by the surgeons, by the, the staffs of everything, and by Making Strides, it just gives a whole different perspective. It used to be all fear people had, and it just took that totally away from me.
That's wild. Thank you for sharing it. Fran, since we're on the subject of survivors, would you like to jump in with your experience?
Absolutely. I was never I'm a very social person, but I was never a joiner, especially for charitable causes. And, I was diagnosed in 2012 and had a double mastectomy. And I was one of those people who would look forward to going for my mammography. I had my favorite technician. I loved the office staff. It was a social event for me. In a million years, I did not think I was going to be someone who had breast cancer. I had no family history. And for me, joining the walk has to do with letting the word out that early detection is incredibly important. I am one of the lucky ones because I had early detection. And the other part for me that was so incredibly lucky is that I was connected to Dr. Feingold. And it was a process before my double mastectomy. My breast surgeon said, I want you to go see Dr. Feingold. And I said, why? He said, because he will be able to talk to you about what your options are. Not only does he tell you what your options are, he explains everything to you so that you can make the most informed decision. And as a result of my amazing reconstruction, I know this is going to sound crazy, but on three occasions, I have lifted my blouse so that three other people who were in terrible shape could see what I looked like. And I actually did it with two people who I met for the very first time, because I felt that that was my way to give back. And when I go, when I do the walk, it's because I feel that I am one of the lucky ones and that I am healthy and happy. And my journey has been one that I felt so secure. And when you have trust in yourself, in your doctor, in the breast cancer support community, it gives you that feeling that you can go on. And when I I have saved my very first shirt, my very first survivor shirt that you get when you go to the walk. And believe it or not, it's a badge of honor. And when I wear it, I feel that I am letting the rest of the world know that it's okay to come forward, and it's okay to share your story, because women need to share their stories. Soon after my surgery, somebody told me, who I worked with, that she didn't want to tell me, but she had breast cancer and she had a single mastectomy. And options were not offered to her. And even then, it was the law to offer those options to her. And she lifted her shirt to show me. And I tried to look very calm. And I said to her, you know what? You have options if you want them and if you need them. And when you talked about your friend with the tattoo, it's about choice, but it's about knowing what your choices are. And I'm very proud to be part of Strides. There's an energy and a feeling that you are in it with others. And when I see people walking for those who did not survive, that's why I'm walking.
Wow. Fran and Debbie, you are very brave and courageous women. Thank you so much for sharing your truth.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to go on a walk. Katie, you're the executive director. You know all things walk. Tell me about what we're doing this year.
Yeah, so we're excited to say that the American Cancer Society is planning on having an in-person walk for Making Strides Against Breast Cancer this year on Long Island and at our Eastern Long Island location. So at Jones Beach and Main Street in Riverhead, this year we are having in-person walks. But we understand that people have different comfort abilities of what they are wanting to do this year, and we have those options for them. So whether it is walking in person with people like Fran and Debbie and Dr. Feingold, who's practice brings over 1,000 survivors with them on an average a normal year, you know, and the 60,000 other people that join us on day of, it is an amazing feeling to say that we can come back together and unite and fight together in this way. So I hope that everyone who's listening can join us on October 17th at Jones Beach or on October 30th on Main Street in Riverhead. And you can find out more information about that at makingstrideswalk.org.
Thank you very much, Katie. I am a motorcycle enthusiast, and I use my motorcycle along with many other enthusiasts on Long Island to help out other people. Historically, with the radio station, I've done two motorcycle runs, one called the Cold Finger Run, which happens in January. And that's for children that are dealing with cancer, and it helps send them to camp with their siblings. And the other one is in the summer. It's called the Sticky Finger Run, and that one is for breast cancer at Stony Brook. And I had this, a couple of years into doing the Sticky Finger Run, I started wearing a bra, And the run would end at a big music festival, and I'd walk around the festival in a bra, and people would, you know, they'd get a kick out. Guys would come over, and they're like, I'll give you the money, but I'm not putting it in. And we raised, you know, a couple of $100 the first year. I think the most I ever raised walking around was $900, just walking around in a bra. It's like, wait, I get a different job. But my point for bringing this up is that while I walk through the crowd, every once in a while, somebody will walk up to me and just wrap around me like in a bear hug. And they whisper in my ear that they're a survivor. And that moment, that split second interaction makes all of the effort of putting that whole run and running around like with the bra and acting goofy, that whole day makes it I don't want to say worth it, because it's already worth it for me to do it, but it's just, it's like the cherry on top that somebody comes over and shares their honesty like that and their courage. And it makes me feel like, wow, you know, like doing more than just riding our bike and having a good time and raising money for, you know, people to have a more quality of life, but it brings people together that have experienced these things just like you have. And you know, at the end of the day, isn't that what life is about? Where we're supposed to get together and commune and, you know, and be with like-minded people and to be able to share things and help each other. And that's what the walks do. They help people. And as you said, Katie, people, you know, have different levels of comfort. You know, some will go and they'll walk. Some will go and they'll walk in a mask. And then some people will just make a donation. Either way, whatever you do, you're raising money to help out people so that we can have more survivors. I do have a question that I don't know that anybody can answer, but I'm going to put it out to the whole group. Why is Long Island such a hotspot?
I think I can just respond to that and let you know that people on Long Island think that there's an increased presence of breast cancer. But I think it's more about the quality of education and communication we have on Long Island and the access to screening that brings it to public attention. I can assure you that most of the country and the world shares our incidence of breast cancer. The concept that 1 in 8 women in a lifetime could be affected is really mind-boggling. But unfortunately, it's present everywhere. New York and Long Island in particular, we're just very fortunate to have high quality care. There's a lot of education. There's a lot of communication. So there is a heightened awareness about it. But I do think the population is no safer anywhere else than here in New York.
Yeah, I would agree with Dr. Feingold. And, you know, not that I'm a medical professional, but it is shocking to see that, you know, this year we can say that breast cancer is the highest incidence rate in cancers, even to lung cancer in women. So the fact that we are catching things earlier and we're sitting in a forum like this and talking about breast cancer and early detection and going to get your screening and the options that you have when you are diagnosed, unfortunately, with this disease, you know, that isn't a norm in a lot of places. And we want to make it that norm that people can, you know, hopefully have their lives saved because they heard something over the radio and were able to say, you know, I missed my breast cancer screening. I need to go and get my screening today, or I need to schedule that screening today so that I can catch this early. I can understand my risk, my family, you know, history, have those conversations. It's important that we do those things. And I think that we're fortunate that we live in an environment where we have a community, an entire Long Island community that really rallies around that.
Thank you. Let me ask, what is metastatic breast cancer? What does that mean?
Yeah, so Dr. Feingold, you can elaborate on this if you'd like, but really metastatic breast cancer is when, you know, cancer spreads. So spreads throughout the lymphatic system. And unfortunately, there aren't cures right now for metastatic breast cancer. However, there are treatments. And that's the importance of things like the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk, where we're raising important funds to go with it towards things like research. Because when, fortunately, you're diagnosed with something like metastatic breast cancer, you're given a treatment plan, right? You have, don't, like they say, a doctor might say, you know, based on this diagnosis, you have these five treatments. And if one doesn't work, we're going to move to the next one. And we're going to move to the next one after that. But we need to make sure that list keeps on growing, right? So that that person who has a metastatic breast cancer diagnosis is able to have hope, to have treatment, and to have options.
And I would also add to that, that I have many patients that were diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer 10 or more years ago. And they've progressed from a therapy many years ago to a more updated therapy or a more effective therapy as years have gone by, and they are thriving nonetheless. And, you know, hopefully there will be a cure down the road.
Has the pandemic affected your ability to do your job, doctor?
Well, yes, it has. The biggest impact initially was when all elective care was shut down last spring and early summer, and we couldn't operate on women. Patients would come in asking for their breast reconstruction, but the truth is they couldn't even have their cancer removed because the hospitals were flooded with COVID patients.
Oof.
And that, of course, subsided after 3 or 4 months, and the backlog of unoperated cancer patients was resolved. Many of those people were put on hormone therapy or chemotherapy to bridge that brief pause in care. But the thing that I worried more about is that it may have inhibited people from going for their routine cancer screenings. And whether it's mammograms or colonoscopies or other types of checkups, I think there was a longer impact where people were not going for basic medical care or screening. And so that may also have a delayed diagnosis for many people. But now our hospitals have very few COVID patients, relatively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see the same severity of disease, certainly nothing like what we had seen more than a year ago.
So right.
Cancer care is very robust, very active. There are no impediments now to screening, diagnosis, treatment, and recovery.
If you're just tuning in, it's 102.3 WBAB, 106.1 BLI, plugged into Long Island. My name is Fingers. We're talking to Debbie Lippman, who is a team leader and a survivor. Also Fran, who is a survivor. Dr. Feingold, who you just heard speaking. And Katie Schaefer, who is the Long Island Making Strides Breast Cancer Executive Director. Dr. Feingold, you know, of all the different kinds of medical practices you could have gone into, I'm curious what brought you to your calling.
So I did my general surgical training at NYU in Bellevue, and I certainly was exposed to many different types of surgical care. But the thing that drew me to plastic and reconstructive surgery were partly the creativity aspect of it and problem solving and dealing with unique problems that impacted people in ways beyond physical health. It had to do with their mental and psychological and emotional comfort. And part of it were role models that I saw in the field that did very inventive work and had a different sense of empathy for their patients, because we have very long-term, sometimes lifetime relationships with our patients when we do this type of breast reconstructive work. Like operating on men and women, adults and children, dealing with cosmetic problems and reconstructive problems. But the common theme behind it all is that we make people happy, and making people happy never grows old.
That's wonderful. You're a rock star. Thank you so much for what you do. Let me get to, we only have a couple moments left. I'd like to get back to Katie with more of the information on how things are set up to do this walk with the proper protocols and make everybody feel safe and happy doing the walk.
So yeah, so October 17th at Jones Beach or October 30th in Main Street in Riverhead are the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer walks. We are adhering to CDC and local health guidelines, whichever is going to be stricter. We do recommend that anybody who is not vaccinated to make sure that if they are going to be attending, to get that negative COVID test before coming. But also, we are encouraging people, whether they are vaccinated or not vaccinated, to wear a mask just because of the setting that we're going to be in. We are outside, and we know that we just want to make sure that everyone is as safe as possible doing something that's so wonderful and great.
You don't want to become a super spreader.
No, we don't. And that is what our, you know, our main goal, again, is to be as safe as possible. And we're going to make sure that everybody is safe and taken care of. So if you do not have that comfort level of being in a large setting with people, if you sign up for Making Strides Walk, the Making Strides Walk at makingstrideswalk.org/Long Island or /Eastern Long Island, you'll also be able to access different features of in-app virtual options where you can walk live with everyone, but in a setting far away, or you can walk with your family and friends in a park or neighborhood near you, or there's other step counting applications as well. So we are making sure that everyone has as many opportunities to participate and feel part of this as they can. But we will be having that in-person walk this year, which is exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good that we're doing all this hard work and special, watching out for each other to make sure that we don't spread it more than it already is. And let's face it, you just said you could essentially stay at home, watch it on your treadmill, you know, and just walk as far as you want to walk while you're watching the feed. Well, I want to thank you all very much. Breast Cancer Awareness Month coming up in October. You have the Jones Beach Walk happening at Field 5 on the 17th of October. Go to makingstrideswalk.org/Long Island. And if you are going to be on the East End, you want to do it October 30th. That's going to be at the Gramble Park over in Riverhead. And the site for that is makingstrideswalk.org/Eastern Long Island. And that's October 30th, right before Halloween. Maybe even you dress up and have some fun. Thank you very much to Katie Schaefer, the Executive Director of Long Island Making Strides Against Breast Cancer, Dr. R. Feingold, MD for NIBRA, that's the plastic surgery founding member. And we also have Debbie Lippman and Fran, two survivors that were brave to share their stories. Thank you all so much for taking the time out and being with us here on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI for Plugged Into Long Island. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody.